You are listening to Mommying While Muslim podcast, where hosts Uzma and Zeba share their personal stories of mommying in a post 9/11 world. This podcast is designed with the Muslim American mom in mind, so grab a cup of coffee and pull up to their table.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Mommy While Muslim podcast. This is Uzma Jaffrey.
And this is Zeba Hassan. And today is our 100th episode. Woo! Who would have thunk it, right? Like, we've come...
We would have thunk it.
And Uzma made sure it happened. I've got to say, thank you so much for that. And it's just such a surreal experience being 100th episode old. You know, which started off as like a little inkling a couple years ago, turning into something that I have to say I'm super, super proud of. And I am so blessed to share this journey with my co-host, Uzma, Dr. Uzma Jaffrey.
I don't know why that was necessary, but thank you for that.
I love that. We always forget Dr. Uzma Jaffrey.
Yeah, because, nobody cares if you're a doctor, if you're a mom, right? Mm-hmm. Like, mom is your title. Like, my kids don't even know. My six-year-old the other day was asking me, Ami, are you a doctor or a dentist?
And you're like, honey.
Like, I'm a doctor. Your dad is a dentist. I don't know why we don't know this already. You're 6 years old this month.
Oh, I can't believe he's six.
Yeah, he's six, and baby girl is going to be 10 later on. She had chemo yesterday.
Yes. So how was
and
that?
Good news and bad news. Okay, good news, she's tolerating it well. Bad news is it's probably not working.
Okay.
So we need your du'as.
Yes.
That we, it's all experimental therapy that she's getting right now. So we need everybody's prayers out there for success in the treatment and a complete recovery from this disease. And, that's for her. And then a very close friend of mine who I consider a sister out here because, you choose your family when you move out of town and away from them and you have nobody. And she's one of my sisters. And her mother, who I had the privilege to meet and hang out with, passed away from leukemia a couple of weeks ago. So please, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, may Allah grant her the highest levels of Jannah. Please make dua for this khalta of mine. I would really appreciate it. Yeah. How was your week?
Nothing compared to that. But before I start on my week, I just want to follow up with Rania's treatment. How do they know it's not working?
So we follow certain proteins in her spinal fluid, and we're waiting for them to go down to zero. And those suckers will not go down to zero. So we know somewhere in her brain, her body is producing this protein, which attacks her brain.
Right.
And it's only in and around her brain and spinal column. So we don't know. We checked her blood. It's not there. The problem is that nine-year-olds are very metabolically active. So when we do like a PET scan, like studies that, look for cancers throughout your body or for what we call metastatic disease, tumors other places. The problem is that nine-year-olds are super active all over their bodies. I mean, they have stuff happening everywhere. So that test is not reliable in her. So I'm kind of waiting for post-puberty to get more reliable diagnostics. Okay. But in the meantime, all I have is this protein in her spinal fluid we check. So they've sent it to the lab yesterday. Okay. I hope, these are the same. It's the same hospital that's lost her spinal fluid twice.
Poor baby.
So let's hope that they test it and that it comes back to zero. That's what we're making dua for.
Yeah, well, definitely praying for her. But otherwise, she's handling everything okay then?
Alhamdulillah, side effects good. Everything's good,
Well, I am always praying for you all, as you know. And inshallah, Rania, it'll come to zero. And, she'll be able to be able to carry on and drive you nuts as a teenager and do all those things that little girls love to do to their mamas when they get older. So I am praying for that, for you to have that, my dear, is
inshallah. I think
isn't that funny that we're like, I just want everything to be normal. But yeah,
as a South Asian, do you know how surreal it is to say that I want a 0% on this test?
Exactly, I want zero. What are you talking about?
I want a zero. I don't want 100. I want a zero.
That's so funny.
Tell me how your momming went this week.
So my momming went well. We started back to school, virtual school, and then homeschooling for my younger two. I have to say, I am a product of routine and schedule. I am kind of very different than Usma where that's concerned. So kind of getting back into that routine and schedule has been really good for all of us. I do find that we go a lot smoother as a family unit when we kind of know where we're supposed to be at what. And of course, I'm loving the fact that, I've talked about it before. I was kind of on the fence with the whole homeschooling concept, but the fact that I can do such amazing things with my younger two. We're really having a good time. So like right now we're talking about 1920s, women's right to vote. They didn't even know that, I just feel like with all that's going on, to kind of educate and inform our children about what our history actually was, not even 100 years ago, and how I feel like we're not necessarily that much more advanced than where we need to be.
Civilized.
So it's just that. But the one thing I do have to say, I was recommended a book called Homeland Elegies by Ayad Akhtar. And I was talking to you about it, and I just finished it. And I have to say, I was on the fence about reading it, as I'm sure, or listening to it on Audible, because that's kind of what I do. I like to listen to these types of books while I'm doing the mundane things of mommying, like, folding laundry and cleaning toilets and all those fun things that I like to do to decompress. I know I'm weird, ironing my masks, all that good stuff that I like to do. And I do have to say, it was a really good, it's a memoir of this gentleman who actually grew up in my brother-in-law's area, in the Wisconsin area. So that was one of the main reasons why I was like interested in reading about him. But it was essentially about a father-son duo, a father obviously coming from the Indo-Pak culture, coming and settling in the United States and building a life for himself, and this American-born Muslim, by Muslim, and I'm using quotation marks because he doesn't necessarily identify himself as Muslim, but obviously culturally he was Muslim, and how they had kind of gone apart and come back together in a post-Trump America. And the dad had a specific relationship with Trump as being one of his specialists, heart specialists, like in the 90s. And so he had a direct connection and why he voted for Trump the first time. So I thought that was interesting because we had that conversation in the Mommy Well Muslim group about how in the world would you all vote for Trump? And there is a section and a demographic of our community that does. And this kind of gave a insight and behind the scenes as to how and why perhaps our particular subgroup could have voted for him the first time around. So I definitely think it's a good read. Very informative for that's where that's concerned. And I know we're going to be touching a little bit about what happened on Wednesday. So let's talk a little bit about that.
That's our soapbox for today.
And we're gonna listen to a little bit of Rage Against the Machine, because I got to tell you, that is something that really hits close to heart, and that's my anger music. So, Usma, please.
That was the soundtrack we were all hearing.
Exactly, as we were doing it, running.
It was going on.
And as my son likes to say, there isn't an explosion on TV, Mama, without the explosion in the back and people running towards the camera. And I was like, yes, that's how I feel like today. And let's talk a little bit about that.
So what I want to know is, on Wednesday, were you watching with your kids?
So thankfully, my kids were in class, thank the Lord, when it happened. And I don't watch TV during the day. And I actually was getting text messages while I was working, because I was doing a coaching client. I was getting text messages, and it was my family. Like, is everything okay? What are you hearing? And, we always hear here.
Oh, because you're in DC.
Yeah, we always hear the helicopters and the, it's so funny because that's just our background music all the time. Sirens and helicopters and this and that. So I heard it, but it wasn't even really registering until I started getting text messages like, are you guys okay? What are you going on? Because we're 5 miles outside. We're right by the CIA. So we're pretty close to it, and in the sense that we're just over the bridge. And I didn't understand what was going on. And thank God I wasn't watching TV, because we had it on in the background. And I do have to say, my younger two kind of just were like, are we going to war? Like, they were scared. They ended up sleeping with us, still sleeping with us, I have to say, because they just don't understand, even though we're trying to tell them, like, this is what's going on. This is, you know, everything's okay. You're safe. But obviously seeing that insanity really, really scarred and is scarring them currently.
Oh, I feel so bad.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Did you have a discussion with them? Like, how did you comfort them?
So how we comforted them is kind of explain some of the history, which is kind of what we're talking about. Like, America isn't necessarily all rosy and, you know, rainbows and unicorns. And I feel like when you're actually aware of your situation, no one's saying that any country is perfect, but I feel like when you're actually aware of the situation and some of the negativity, you can then start combating it or making changes or, you know, doing what we can in our power. So I don't necessarily feel in sheltering your kids. Obviously, explaining to them in a very age-appropriate way. One, we're not going to civil war, inshallah, God willing. Two, this is what's currently going on with the situation and why they're doing it, because they knew about the Trump rally. We had Trump rally right before the day before the election, and literally pickup trucks running around our neighborhood, like people with guns. Mm-hmm. You know, we saw that hands-on even before all of this happened, because we are one of the places where our particular district is one of the places that could for Nova can kind of change things over. So they came, they were like hundreds of people here with flags and this. So the kids had already started seeing that and seeing the signs and not understanding. And, you know, and poignantly, my number three said to me very specifically, remember when we had the Black Lives Matter? Because they went, obviously were part of some of those types of things that we did as a family. He goes, how come they had guns and everything? The police were there, but the police aren't there now. So having to explain some of the racial undertones that inevitably we are dealing with that are in fact part of the problem was a very difficult thing, because obviously, you know, they're not white. And so we had to you know, kind of talk about that openly and what we can do as a family to kind of help mitigate that. So it was a very hard conversation to have, to be honest with you. But what about you guys?
Did you know that family travel has the incredible power to shape our children's worldview and create lasting memories? In a world where representation is often lacking, it's essential for our children to see themselves reflected in every aspect of life, including the stories we tell about travel. Introducing the Travel of Legacy podcast, where we're rewriting the script by celebrating the diverse voices of Black and Brown family travelers. Each episode of Travel of Legacy is a testament to the enriching power and the joy of exploration in Black and Brown communities. So journey with us and subscribe now.
Alhamdulillah, we were really, really lucky that it happened on Wednesday. Our kids were still, like, they had gotten up really early, were finishing their work at the time, and then were somehow entertaining themselves. I think they were watching TV, but their TV is YouTube videos.
Yeah, they're obsessed with those suckers.
I guess they were learning how to do slime and how to watch other people play video games. In the meantime, my husband and I were upstairs, and I have not watch the news like that since 9/11.
Yes, exactly.
Since the first plane hit the tower. And it was really only we have a WhatsApp group with a lot of Muslim podcasters on there. And they're the ones who said, the Capitol's being attacked. And I was like, what are you talking about? And they said, there's shots fired. And I said, no, that's not even possible. You know, why would patriots, you know, storm the Capitol and kill anybody? I can't even imagine this. And sure as sugar, we got on there. And my husband was like, you know, you're watching all the news channels that you trust. Watch the other side.
Yes.
Just watch. And that's where I saw the footage of that woman from San Diego getting shot. And I was like, oh, they got her. She is not going to live. So on the mainstream channels, they were showing the stretcher being carried out. And I was like, she's not going to survive. And she's going to end up being martyred now.
Yeah.
So this is not good. This is not good for democracy in any way, shape, or form. But then neither is, like, sure, I hate a lot of our lawmakers that sit in that building. Like, I literally hate their guts. But I would never say it's okay to be violent against them. Apparently, people took in zip ties to, like, kidnap the lawmakers was the plan until they did what you wanted. In what world is that democratic? In what world is that making America great again? Like, I don't even understand. Today, this morning, I'm reading that a lot of the lawmakers' offices that were broken into, not only did they steal laptops with classified information on them, they urinated in their offices.
Yeah.
I mean, how is that being the greatest nation on earth? Yeah. I can't even, like, I felt like, you know, that gut punch that we had?
Yes, that's how I felt.
On 9/11?
Too.
Yeah, I couldn't breathe. I just could not stop watching. For like 4 hours, I was in front of the TV. And my only thing was, how are they going to certify this election? How are they going to certify this election? So, of course, I was up until like 2 a.m. watching it happen because I wanted to follow up and make sure it was happening live, make sure none of our lawmakers lost their lives doing it. And then, most importantly, to see the ones who are going to contest this fairly legitimate election, to see them eat crow. And to see them say we were wrong and we're not going to contest anymore. And you know what? Those idiots still got up and contested.
Yeah.
And I was, for the first time in 4 years, very proud of Mike Pence when he said,
yes.
Yeah. You the idiot from Texas where he was like, yeah, then you don't really have a case because you have no senator to back you up anymore.
Yeah. So I was like, it was the first time I ever was like, should Mike Pence evoke the 25th Amendment? Take over this crazy sucker, whatever he's up to, and he would do a better job trying to get us through for the next 2 weeks. Like, I was like, never in my life would I have thought. And this is not, and for me, it's never been a Republican-Democratic issue. Like, I always said this. I am right in the middle. And honestly, I feel like you need to have differences in your viewpoints, because I feel like that's the only way if you actually respect each other's differences, it's the only way change for the better can occur in being empathetic and trying to understand the other side. Where Trump is concerned, this is not a Republican issue. He is certifiably, I'm not a doctor, but he is nuts.
I am, and I can tell you, he's nuts.
There's something wrong with him.
He's the kind of nuts that you can't fix.
You can't fix. There's something wrong with him.
He's a sociopath. You can't fix that.
This is not a Republican-Democratic issue. This is, he has taken over a party and, like, kidnapped them on some level. Like, we're talking about this kidnapping thing. And is pushing them into the ground. And as a result of that, all three houses now are Democratic. And I have to say, I'm not sure how I feel about that, you know, personally, because we've all talked about that, because I do believe in middle of the road. 80% of people are in the middle. And if you have too skewed one way or the other, that's not necessarily a good thing. And I don't necessarily feel like there will be progress. So where did that get them? That's what I want to say. Right. Where did your extreme views get you?
Well, so their extremity got us. Wednesday morning, we woke up to amazing news, right? Like, Raphael Warnock and Ossoff had both taken Georgia. So now we have a tie in Congress, which was in the Senate, which was really important. And we needed that for this country to get back to some semblance of normalcy.
Yes.
But I think for these people, that was the last straw. And I don't know if that's what they were waiting for before they attacked.
No, because he had called this rally ahead of time.
Right.
Right. And so I think that's the issue, right? He called this, and then he started inciting them
violence on
social media, which it's about freaking time, Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn, like whatever. Like, why did we not stop this? This is inciting violence. Like, he literally was inciting violence. So the fact that it finally stopped, I mean, I think they took him off, right? Like, that was what I read.
No, they brought him back onto Twitter.
My God.
So, like, thanks, Jack Dorsey. You did it again, man. I guess protecting freedom of speech is important, but, you know, for somebody who's inciting violence and who has has done it.
I mean, freedom of speech until you start saying fire in a theater, right? You can't say said bomb. Or, like, so there's certain things that are not good for the greater of the people. And breaking the windows, literally, Uzma, breaking the windows of our Capitol building is an issue. Like, that is not okay. That is not okay. And as an American, you should feel shameful for that. This is one of our institution, government, the most important, I would say, the people that make the laws.
The most important.
The most important to me. And look at what you're doing.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Like, now we're finding out that, you know, the Capitol Police Chief has resigned because apparently he was offered help ahead of time by the National Guard. And then when on Wednesday he did ask for it, National Guard is like, booyah,
yeah, too bad.
Not going to help,
yes.
You know? So this is all coming out now.
Yes.
But again, like, there's some false pictures being posted about the National Guard being ready at the Black Lives Movement. That was not at the Capitol. That was at the
Lincoln
Memorial, guys. Which is still important, you know? I'm saying the Lincoln Memorial is important, but it's a memorial.
Well,
it's not where critical functions.
Well,
of this
in fairness, that's where the actual they did the speech. It was at the Lincoln Memorial because they were trying to.
Right.
That was why they were there, because that's where they started, and then the march went on. So I get your point, but the reality of the situation is they heard that all the speeches were going to be done at the Lincoln Memorial because that's where Martin Luther King did his in his famous speech. But they were still ready there, and they had heard that this was going to happen. And he did say, "I'm going to go. You should march to the Capitol." And they were not prepared.
I will march with you.
I will march with you.
And then he
and
doesn't
they were
march
still
with you.
Not there and available. So they knew that was a possibility, and they were still not prepared. Yeah. That is what is shameful in this situation. You know why?
And the fact
because who
that
calls the martial law?
Go.
It's the president. He's the one who does it. And he had no interest in doing that. That is where the issue is. Sorry.
He knew this was going to happen, which is why he did not march with the people that he incited. He did not prepare the Capitol Police, which is under federal jurisdiction. He did not activate the National Guard because he had a vested interest in having these Electoral College certifications burned, which it doesn't matter because what do you think? That's the only copy, idiot? No.
Yeah.
You know, you wanted lawmakers hurt. You wanted them to pay for not voting you in. You cannot believe that people find you more repulsive than the last most hated president, which was Johnson. And then there's the whole issue of, as moms, what business do you have talking about this? Well, first of all, I'm Momming While Muslim. We have a soapbox every segment, every episode. So yeah, we're very heavily invested in politics. We don't shy away from it because politics affect us, guys. Maternity leave, or let's say lack thereof, not having equal pay for women, which means more of us end up having to stay home raising our kids. You know, not funding our schools and our teachers. Closing our schools down because you lied about a pandemic and then now didn't order enough vaccines and are not prepared for this pandemic. 400,000 Americans have died, including our parents, our children, our patients. Our businesses are all closed. Our economy is tanked. That's 10 reasons why moms need to be talking about this. And that's why we are on Mommy While Muslim now.
Preach it, girl.
I don't know. We could talk about this all day.
We could talk about it all day. But what, you know, that's going to put us in a bad mood. So we're going to push pause on that right now. And all this month, as we've been talking about, we've been doing this how to moms doing crazy hard things. And we're going to be sharing a little bit of the behind the scenes about us because today is our 100th episode. Mashallah. So how to podcast like it's a party. Yes, because I have to say, when you're doing things that you're passionate about and that you really, really feel strongly about, like we did, we do, it doesn't feel like work. So, you know, we're going to be hosting live giveaways a little bit later in the show. But so right now we are going to, so everybody, if you haven't already, and you're listening, get your friends, get everybody on. We will be doing the live giveaway towards the end of the episode. So come on and listen and join in because we have some amazing things to give away today. Uzma.
Yay.
How excited are you about today?
I'm not. I'm really, really tired. I think I'm emotionally drained from what happened Wednesday. But, you know, podcasting is such hard work. And I feel like no matter how much we make the workflow and the processes, try to set them up, there's just having to constantly stay on top is just so hard, right?
Right.
Like, we've done 100 episodes, and I am just, when I look back, I can believe it, but I can't believe it.
Yeah, because
it's exhausting.
It's exhausting, but let's just be real. Like, you know, we're having fun. Like, don't you feel like we're having fun?
Yeah, this is the most fun thing I do.
This is the most fun thing I do.
For me,
exactly. I get excited to drive you nuts about not reading the notes as I'm doing now. Like, I enjoy doing those types of things, getting reconnected with you, and honestly just helping to enable a family community of other women and help support. I have to say that was the number one thing that I really, really enjoyed, watching the growth of our groups and the supports of our groups. And because I feel like when you don't necessarily have that village, go ahead and create it. And I feel like we've done that. We're doing that. And I really want to thank everybody for helping us with that, obviously, because we couldn't have done it without you. The one thing, you know, we've shared kind of the why and the how, and perhaps 100 episodes in, maybe you guys don't know why and how Momming While Muslim started. But I just wanted to just go back and remind everybody where it began. And for me, the personal story was, it started with my son, who was 14 at the time, being singled out at an airport on our way back home from Chicago. And part of the reality is, I have to admit, as somebody who quote unquote passes, I'd never really dealt with, until somebody heard my name, I'd never really dealt with that issue of somebody treating me. If anything, most people talk freely in front of me because they don't realize that I am Muslim. And so it was the first time that I experienced it. And by the way, closer than probably if it happened to yourself, because it's happening to your kid, where they kind of pulled him aside and was questioning him and trying to figure out who he was, what he was like, where's his identification? How come you don't have his identification? I'm just kind of like, what are we doing? 20 to 30 minutes later, they finally let us out through a security. But it was one of those things as a mom that you feel powerless, because he was ahead. I'm always the caboose when we're the five of us are traveling together. So he's always the first, because he's the engine, I'm the caboose, because 90% of the time I don't travel with my husband. So I'm traveling with the kids by myself. So he's at the front, I'm in the back, I'm trying to watch the little kids. I mean, because my youngest was maybe like 4 or 5 at the time, and trying to figure out, what's the holdup? Why are they not? And by the time I got up, is this your son? Why is he wearing a college t-shirt? This and this and this. And you want to say something negative, to be honest with you, because your gut instinct is to kind of lash out. But the reality of the situation is, I was very nervous, because I was like, if I lash out, they at any point can pull us all. Nobody will know. I wouldn't be able to get it. I'm by myself traveling with 4 kids. I don't want to be separated. You really do feel very, very powerless and stressful. And I have to say, we went through, I was really visibly upset, called my husband. He's like, babe, don't say anything. Let's just go, let it go. Because he's always like, let it go.
Really?
During that situation, because he's like, nothing's going to happen. He goes like, nothing good can happen from it. If you're traveling by yourself, nod and smile, be polite, and move on. And sure enough, we did. And honestly, in my quest to find the answers, like, how could I talk to him? Because, of course, he's so stressed out. He was like, what did I do? He had his little Beats on. He had, you know, typical teenage boy. He was like, what's going on? Why are they doing this to me? He had also never really experienced that until that moment. The first of many after that, unfortunately, because I feel like our boys, as they get older, definitely experience it more than when they're younger. But that's just something on an aside that I've witnessed. And of course, in my quest to find one of the answers, I reached out to my childhood friend, Uzma Joffrey. And because I knew she was on the speaking circuit. I was like, do you know of anybody that can help me figure this out? Because I wasn't finding the tools that I needed to, one, explain things to, because remember, this is what, 2016, 17, probably? It was a couple of years ago. Yeah, it was a couple of years ago. And I was like, I can't find anything. I don't have any tools in my, and she, the first thing she said was, and I will let her take over this part of the story.
Why would any Muslim in America not travel without their ID?
Yeah.
I wanted to punch her through the phone, but I had to be really nice about it, you know, because I'm like, oh, she can actually hear me. This isn't a text message or a Facebook message, so I have to like
Needless
really watch
to
my tone.
Saying, I heard the tone under her breath. She was like, what are you doing, you crazy lady?
Basically, because my kids, even in infancy, had their passports at the ready, and I don't even flip my driver's license out for TSA. I always take that blue passport, and I am in that TSA line waving that thing around. Like, no, this says born right here in the U.S., guys. Like, I am not going to, you know, take it from anybody. I am not going to tolerate you speaking loudly to me, trying to get me to understand your English that I guarantee I speak better than you. I would be, if I was in Zeba's position, I would have been very loud in TSA saying, I am married to a lawyer. Do you really want to mess with me right now? Do you really want to mess with my kid right now? Like racially profiling him and saying it as loud as possible, stopping the entire TSA line and lying down on the floor if I had to. Yeah, you would end up in questioning for 3 hours. But, you know, what's the worst that could happen? You're going to miss your flight, but you're going to show your kids that, you know, this is this othering that has been okayed, this terrorism that has been brought into our normal lives of travel, escalated everything, like the cost of traveling, the difficulties in traveling, especially with children and small children at that. We're going to contest it and we're going to say enough is enough, you know, because it's not the people on the planes that are killing us. It's the people that are storming our capital that are killing us. So, yeah, it just, when Zeba mentioned that to me, I think what did I do? I offered you a couple of resources and you said, okay, would you be willing to talk about that on a podcast? And I was like, sure.
Yeah.
What do I got to do? And what's a podcast?
Exactly. And she was like, what exactly is a podcast? And obviously podcasting had become a little bit popular at that point, but it was definitely like gaining steam. And I thought, you know, in looking in my quest and looking for answers and trying to find, it was a very, we were in a very unique position in the sense that we were older, very mature, and our parents were one of the first immigrant parents that came here from Indo-Pak and all the other areas respectively, and we were all born and raised here. But our children specifically were born post 9/11, being essentially still viewed in that post 9/11 way for an incident that they had no idea. And obviously you read about it in your history book or whatever, but they didn't understand the implication as native born Americans as to what it would mean for their identity, how it would affect them. And quite frankly, there's a lack of resources for native born American children, meaning they do not have a direct affiliation with any other country but America. You know, like my youngest thought my in-laws were speaking Spanish for a long time because they just didn't understand the concept of what's Urdu, you know? And so like they're just that much further removed from their quote unquote cultural heritage because they very much identify themselves as American. So when they're getting viewed in a non-American or as an other, it definitely impacts them. So part of my why was, okay, if I don't see this or see a community that's geared specifically for moms as the hearts of the household, as the leaders of the next generation of Muslim American children, or the mothers of the ummah moving forward as native born American ummah that's here, very unique generation, then I'm going to help create it. So I just kind of called Uzma and I was like, listen, I don't know what we're going to do or how we're going to do it, but let's get this done. And like 2 weeks later, it was done because Uzma's like, let me do this because she's my go-getter. And I'm like, wait a second. this is a little too fast. And obviously we've evolved and changed and adjusted per any type of business growth. And I wouldn't share this journey with anybody but her. And I definitely appreciate that. But I know, Uzma, your why was very different than mine. Do you want to share what your why was?
Yeah, I had a few whys. And so, you know, when Zeba offered this opportunity and this platform to make change, it was like, what a terrific and democratic way to offer a free resource to Muslim moms in America raising their kids. And primarily, what I wanted to fix was I'm one of the few people who was born and raised in the United States in my community now. And I see a lot of mistakes happening. What I deem to be oversights on the part of immigrant Muslims to the United States doing to their children or behaving towards their children in ways that were traumatic for me, and I believe also for Zeba, our generation growing up. And people used to call us ABCDs, American-born, confused, Desis. Desi is somebody off the mother continent, the Indian subcontinent. And I see that happening in my community, and I said, okay, this is one way to help these people. And the second one was kind of to Zeba's point, to get resources together in one place that weren't available when we were first on this mothering journey. I've shared on this podcast before that I had postpartum depression and psychosis with my very first one. I was so lost, felt so alone, thought I was the only one that didn't know what I was doing. So hearing for the first time, three kids later, that nobody knows what they're doing was really life-changing for me and altered the way I mother my kids for the better. It was an opportunity for the first time to mother myself, and I saw so many ways that we could improve the support that we have available and don't have for Muslim mothers in America, and to generate those resources where they aren't. And then the last reason was, again, speaking to my first point, undoing a lot of the trauma in the ways that we were raised, because, you know, we can always do better. You know, our parents, the generations before us, raised us with the tools that they had. And Zeba and I always say, when we know better, we do better. And that is, you know, what we always strive to do here at Mommy While Muslim and help other Muslim moms do as well. And, you know, really moms of any faith. So thank you to those people also for joining us. Zeba, tell me what your favorite thing is about podcasting.
Honestly, it's really meeting, and I'm putting meeting in quotation marks because we have always recorded remotely because we're on two different sides of the continent, of the United States. So for me, it was always like meeting other Muslim moms and hearing their amazing journey. Because the truth of the matter is we are all experts in our own mothering journey. That's one. And two, everybody's experiences are different. So like I could have four kids, a gazillion types of experiences, but hearing somebody else's viewpoints really is an eye-opening, continued learning experience for me. As an adult, that I don't think we get that opportunity to do very often. And hearing somebody's viewpoint, whether or not we agree with it personally, I feel like it's consistent growth. And I am grateful for that opportunity every single week.
That's awesome.
And what about you? Because I know, you know, you probably have a lot as well. Like, I'm interested because, you know, we've talked about it a little bit offhandedly, but what is one of your favorite things? Because I know what your least favorite thing is, but what is one of your favorite things about podcasting?
I think my favorite thing is reading comments and reviews. And a lot of times people will slide those into our DMs. And that is so motivating, and it's so validating because it means that we are reaching out to somebody. We're doing exactly what we aimed to do, which was to support you, which was to help you. In the DM, sometimes people are telling us we want to hear more about this, more about that. That helps us get better too. That's really, really important. Of course, we would love for people to leave reviews on their podcast platforms, but not everybody knows how to do that. So the DMs, I think, are really, really valuable. Those I feel like that's a one-on-one connection with the audience. Just like in the comments right now where you guys are, that's just, it's so uplifting. It makes everything worth it, because at night, during the day, when we're making dua, we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not only generate good from us on this platform, but to also protect us from evil and from committing it. Because we don't just hate oppressors, we also hate becoming them. So, and by oppression, even generating lies or generating falsehood or generating any kind of thing that would hurt, especially Muslim moms, would hurt us inevitably. And so in those DMs, when you are giving us that positive or even sometimes positive feedback or constructive criticism, whatever it is, we love it. You know, we absolutely want more of it. And we encourage you to feel free to do it, whether you're on Facebook, Instagram, some of you know us personally, and you give it to us there. That is all valid, important, very treasured by us.
I love that. And honestly, it's even as simple as, you know, we have had people, like you said, in your DMs saying things like, I never thought about it that way. Or I had heard this story. I thought about something, you know, I kind of judged somebody, and that, and now hearing that, that story from that person's mouth allowed me the opportunity to kind of understand where that person's coming from. And for a lot of our non-Muslim listeners, I think allowing them to be like a fly on the wall and try to understand a little bit of the journey that we're going and the commonalities that we have in this quest of motherhood, I think is also a very positive. And it kind of makes all the negative things and the hard things about podcasting, because trust me, there are many, a little bit more palatable to accept. Because, you know, we've talked about the positives and we can go on and on and about that. And for the most part, I'd like to stay in that gratitude attitude. But there are hard things for a lot of our listeners that have been toying with the idea of podcasting, especially now in this COVID era. Like, what are some of the hard things that you would say to somebody perhaps wanting to do this moving forward?
I think one of the hard parts about podcasting is being found, because a lot of people don't know that you even exist. And even if they know you exist, they're like I was at the beginning when Zeba talked to me. It's like, oh, I don't even know how to listen to podcasts. I wouldn't know how that's done until somebody was like, dude, they're on your phone. So, you know, we've got tutorials for how to do that on both our Facebook and our Instagram. If you don't know how to find a podcast platform, you can watch those very short videos on how to do that. And then to have an active listenership is another hard thing. You know, people who are going to slide into your DMs, who are going to go into your reviews and tell you how to improve your work, or to even say, hey, you know, you deserve it. Encouragement and a little bit of like a pat on the back. Good job. You know, that feels good. And it's really hard when there's like, sometimes we have these periods where it's just dry and we don't get that. And obviously we do this for the sake of Allah first. And so there's no appreciation needed at all, but it's just nice as human beings who are deficient, and we would love to have a little bit of pats on the back. That's always really helpful. We give it to our kids. Positive reinforcement works, guys. That's why I think we got to this 100th episode, because not only was our intention always pure, because Zeba made sure it was, we got such positive reinforcement from our audience since the beginning, and that helped in this hardest part of podcasting. How about for you? What do you think is the hardest part?
Honestly, like with all moms, or I would say females in general, for a lot of the people that I talk to, having to really on a day-to-day basis, push down that imposter syndrome that inevitably comes as like, why you, why now, what, you're not an expert. And quite frankly, we never claim to be an expert in any stretch of the imagination, other than we personally feel that we are an expert in our particular families. But what we are experts in is being open-minded, willing to do the research, reach out to the people. And I feel like, why not us, you know? So do I have to combat that on a day-to-day basis? Yes. Yes, absolutely. Because, you know, we're moms, we're in the trenches, and that's how I want to identify myself. But the reality of the situation is we can be connectors. We are very much appreciative of what you all have to offer. And to be honest with you, in pushing that imposter syndrome down, we allow ourselves the opportunity to do great things. And if even one person decides that they're going to change their viewpoint or hesitate to think about Muslim moms or Muslims in general or my own Muslim children in a negative way, for me, it makes all that negativity, that questioning of myself, that much better. So the hardships, that I feel like all the good outweigh the hardships. And if you were ever in an opportunity to do it and try to get your voice heard, we need that, and get it done.
Absolutely. And with that, you know, we hope for those of you who are considering podcasting, inshallah, one day you will be having your 100th episode and we will log on to watch your special. We're super excited about that. If you have any questions, slide into our DMs and you're welcome to ask us. We pat ourselves on the back also for being very supportive of Muslim women's voices.
Yes.
And getting them out there and showcasing them as much as possible. You can check out our feeds on both Facebook and Instagram to see that that is 100% true. We try to promote, spend at least a week promoting Muslim women's voices on our platforms there. So we are ready to start our 100th episode giveaway live on Facebook. So if you have not tagged a friend yet in the comments, I hope you do, so that you give your sisters, again,
an opportunity.
Lifting women, Muslim women, you know, give them the opportunity also to win, or you can be cutthroat like I would and not tag them because I want to win alone. That's fine. Don't be like me. You already have a head start if you've been following us on our stories on Facebook and Instagram, because we gave you all the answers to these. Okay. So we couldn't have made it any easier for you. So if you don't follow us on Facebook or Instagram, now is the time, because I think this is the way we're going to do giveaways in the future, is to kind of give you teasers and hints in our stories and then do our giveaways live, because it just seems so much more fun this way. So Zeba, why don't you go ahead and get us started?
It is really easy, everybody. So each of us will read one question, and the first person to answer correctly in the chat will be the winner. That's it. It's that simple. But once you hear your name, we will say the name. Ozma will, because I think she has access to the chats. Please DM us on Facebook or Instagram with your mailing address, and we will mail that out to you this weekend. So the first prize for the correct answer is, I think, what's our first prize today, Uzma? It is the Mamiwa Muslim with, it's called our timeout cup. And you can have a little snack, have a cup of tea, and hopefully pop in, you know, a podcast called Mommy Well Muslim while you're sipping your tea. But, you know, you can do other things during your timeout time. That's fine. So I am going to, so Usma, do I want to ask my own question? Where am I from?
Where is Zeba from?
Where am
is
I
the
from?
First question. And I mean, she sort of gave it away earlier in this episode. So if you just logged on late, sorry. For those of you who don't listen, but for those of you who are regular listeners or usually follow us, you know the answer. Just pop it into the comments. And for those who are watching this live, ooh, we got a correct answer already. But for those of you who are watching us on a watch party, you want to, I'm not sure if the comments from this on our Facebook page go to the watch party. So try to get to the Mommy While Muslim Facebook page and answer in the comments there on the live. For Zana Kavi, you have won the first prize, the Mother's Tea, Mother's Time Out box set. And she answered Chicago.
Chicago.
Yes.
You can't take
She may live in D.C. Yes. She may live by the CIA, but she is a Chi-Town girl at heart.
All
and if you don't believe
way.
It, piss her off and then meet her in a dark alley.
Yeah, don't. I'm good until I'm not. And the people that know me know that. Like my husband says, your Chicago starts coming out. And I'm like, yes. I'm a basketball mama, but my Chicago will come out if I have to. But yes, please put your address into the DMs. I believe. Do you want to do it on Instagram, Uzma, so it's all in one place?
I think because we're on Facebook, so Zana, go ahead and DM us on Momming While Muslim with your address, and we will send out the Mother's Timeout Tea Basket. Some other answers that we got from people who should know better. My mom says D.C.
Auntie.
Where we're born. Ami, come on. Somebody said Zeba's mixed, so that means they've been following us, yes. And they know. Oh, my mom came back and corrected herself. Okay. Born in Chicago. Good job. somebody said Nova, which is true.
Yes.
You actually do live in Northern Virginia. Good job, Farzana. We are ready for the second question, and I will go ahead and ask that now.
Oh, no, I'm scared about this one.
And this is also about Zeba, because honestly, she's just so much more colorful than I am.
No.
So Zeba's morning activity. There is more than one correct answer, and the prize for this is, Zeba, would you like to describe what we have pictured here for everybody?
We have the amazing book that Uzma was a part of called Love Meets Life, and love glasses from the Love Glasses Revolution, so that you can always look at the world in with hearts on your eyes. And quite frankly, it's such a conversation starter. I wear them to like soccer, like basketball games. Everyone's like, "Where the heck did you get those glasses?" And I'm always like, it makes me be conscientiously aware of looking at the world in a positive way. And that is from our good friend, Tara Ije, from Love Glasses Revolution. So.
All right.
Very
that
exciting.
Is amazing. And it looks so calm and comfortable, because that's what you kind of do. You have like your aromatherapy or your calm music going on. You do your yoga.
Yes.
We already have one. Our first correct answer is by the winner of our first prize, Farzana. Great job. However, we don't want one person to win everything. Like that's great that you're a dedicated listener.
I love that. I love you, Farzana.
We absolutely love you. We might even send her a bonus.
For being a good listener.
She follows us regularly. Figure out what that's going to be. But the next person with the correct answer is our good friend, Shaila. Shaila Sani, who is also host of I'm a Muslim and That's Okay podcast.
Yes.
And she is in our lovely WhatsApp group of Muslima podcasters. And she answered with meditation,
yes,
which is a true practice that you have. Zeba, do you want to talk a little bit about that?
So part of my morning routine after prayer, of course, in order to kind of get geared up for the day, is I practice a meditation, mindful meditation, but I do it from a Muslim perspective. And how we do meditation is we do it's called dhikr. And dhikr essentially is evoking the names of God, depending on what it is that you're feeling. So if I'm feeling angst, I will go and try to look up the name of God that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that kind of can give you peace and calm, which of course is as-salam. And so you sit in a quiet space. I actually listen to the ocean sounds, because that is my ocean sound, and I evoke the names of God depending on what it is. If I'm waking up in a bad mood and I want to either ask for forgiveness or give forgiveness, astaghfirullah, you know, there are different types of things, and I do that for at least 15 to 20 minutes every day. The goal is I'm going to be up to 30 minutes. That's kind of where I want to go, because it helps me start my day off in a very mindful, prayerful space so that I can kind of It just makes me more at peace, and it really does work. For the people that are not into meditation, or they think they're hokey, trust me, I was one of those people that was like, you're crazy, until you started doing it, and still I started doing it on a regular basis. And I have to say, it's been a journey, and quite frankly, it's better than any kind of, like, you know, I don't drink, but I would imagine if you're drinking, that calming sense for people. But it's one of those things where it definitely helps me start my day on a positive gratitude attitude. So, you know, when my kid spills milk as they're pouring their cereal, I'm kind of like, okay, grab the paper towel, pick it up. And I'm not starting the day on an aggressive tone. And that really does help play for my family dynamic. So thank you so much. And I think she's my secret podcaster gifter, Shaila is. So I have.
We did like a secret Amina. So you know her address already.
I do. Well, she sent something to me, so I'm very excited to open it up for everybody a little bit later.
But just in case, Shaila, go ahead and slide your mailing address into our DM so
can't
that we know to send you your package. And then Zeba's got the last question.
Ooh,
Three questions, prizes for three winners.
Woo, and the last question is Ozma's favorite snack mentioned on the podcast, let's be honest, more than one time. And speaking of prayer and meditation, Ozma, do you want to talk to us a little bit about this beautiful piece we have right here?
So this particular bracelet is called the Mother's Prayer Bracelet, and this is completely the love child of Zeba and Love Soul Designs, which is a Muslimah in Nova in the Northern Virginia area who creates these custom pieces of jewelry. Apparently, these are real stones. I believe this is Tiger's Eye.
Yes.
For like healing, balance. You know, lots of the shishi frou-frou stuff that Zeba's into, like yoga and meditation and all of that, you know, and I love it, you know, because her intention was, I want something beautiful, but also practical that I can wear and that I can do tasbih or zikr on, and it's right on my hand. So I believe, are there 11 beads on here so that you can go three times around?
Yes.
Or, you know, we do 33 times glory to Allah, 33 times. There's only one Allah, 33 times. Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. And we do that throughout the day. Or some of us are doing Astaghfirullah, God forgive me, 100 times a day or more. So if you have these, it's just there is research that shows that not only saying something, but also using your fingers to manipulate something actually helps the neurons transmit information in your brain. So it's not that our meditation is better. It's that our meditation enlightens you and opens you up. It's not like alcohol where you're numbing your senses down. This is actually trying to awaken them. So this is the Mother's Prayer Bracelet made by Love Soul Design. And I am going to check our DMs to see who knows what my dirty snacks are.
Woo-hoo.
Let's see if somebody got it right. Somebody said chocolate. We're close. And yes, Candace, you will be able to purchase this bracelet in our shop. So if you go to our website, Zeba is creating a shop on there, and the Mother's Prayer Bracelet will be available for sale with proceeds going to us to help sustain the podcast as well as to a Muslim mom's owned business. Even my mom said chocolate. I thought my mom listened to this podcast. But you can't win anyway. You're related to us.
Though for Mother's Day, we will send you, Ozma is going to send you this Mother's Prayer bracelet. Okay. I'm saying it for you live right now, Auntie. But does somebody get it?
No, somebody did. So somebody, first of all, guessed Ferrero Rocher, very close, but Amanda Usardo Alcides won with Nutella.
Yes.
Which, by the way, I scraped up the last of, actually,
she literally,
a container that my daughter threw away.
Literally takes the bottom spoons with the spoon and eats this Nutella, like, from the thing. But she doesn't want to put it on anything.
Hey, 2020 was hard, and Nutella and Cheetos got me through 2020.
I'd like you to dip the Cheetos into Nutella and do a taste test challenge. See how that is.
I need to try that. I absolutely need to try that. So Amanda, my love, Amanda is a local author who contributed to the Love Meets Life book with me.
Love that.
Amanda, slide your mailing address into our DMs and we will ship out the Mother's Prayer bracelet to you. Congratulations and thanks so much for participating. Lots of people were close. My mom guessed pecan pie, which is my favorite pie. But you cannot eat that every day. You'll die.
You'll die. But that's the cool thing is a lot of these things are going to be available in our shop for in March. So the bracelets are being custom made. So that's the beauty. And part of the reason I did want to talk about a little bit about the tiger's eye is that it helps you, the energy that it gives off is the concept of patience and understanding. And I do know as moms, we constantly need that. And it's
always.
And I do have to say, we're going to be taking advanced orders, I believe, in 2 weeks. We will let you guys know about that. It comes in 3 different styles. You can get all 3 of them. They look beautiful on your wrist. It's perfect. It kind of matches with everything. And I do have to say, it is my love child, and it's definitely going to be gifts that I'm giving everybody. So just know that ahead of time. But we will make sure you guys get that, and we look forward. And thank you so much today for joining us on this 100th episode. Ozma, here's to 100 more, and here's to nannying while Muslim, and I'm saying nanny because maybe I'll be a grandma up here.
We'll be starting that in a few years.
Several years later, though apparently all four of my kids think I'm going to be raising their children, and I'm like, we're not doing that. But probably I will end up. Let's just be real. Anybody that knows me knows that that's what I'm going to end up doing. But thank you guys so much for joining us on this journey. Uzma, thank you for joining me on this journey. And I've loved being able to, like, you know, get to know you. I love having our differences and working them out in adult fashion versus how we used to do it back in the day. Like, we would call and then listen on the phone and have somebody else, like, what did you say about Saba? Like, mediate. And like, so the fact that we can do this as adults and be on this journey together is such a blessing. And like we've always said, like, it's something that we're leaving behind for our children. So, you know, this is kind of like our diary for them too. You know, if I'm grown and gone, hopefully this lives on and they can kind of share this with their children. And inshallah, like, Allah knows we have the best of intentions. So thank you guys so much for joining us today on another episode of Momming While Muslim.
Thanks, guys, for the party. Yay! We love it. We love you. Keep listening. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Thanks again for joining Zeba and Uzma on Momming While Muslim today.
Please email us your thoughts or questions and follow us on Facebook and Instagram, because this podcast was designed to cater your needs.
Make sure you check out the show notes to find the links and resources for this episode. And remember to help a mama out and leave a review of the show, as well as to like it on your podcast app of choice, because that helps us grow.
Tune in next week for another episode of Momming While Muslim. Assalamu alaikum, everyone.